weekend is not complete without the First Lady of New York Radio. It's the Joan Hamburg Show, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Well, congestion pricing, which is a hot topic and being talked about everywhere, is almost here. It was actually made law by the New York legislature in 2019. And this is the plan that's supposed to make our air cleaner, reduce the amount of traffic. And you probably remember that the MTA announced it the end of last year, and all of a sudden all this opposition, including lawsuits that can slow everything down. Apparently cameras are in place already that will charge all the cars crossing into the central business zone $15 for every trip. But the question is, are the lawsuits going to stop the plan from going into effect? A lot of New Yorkers, we asked even this morning coming into the station, most people have no idea what is about to go on, what is about to change the city. So I want you to meet Susan Lee, who is the president of an opposition group that has filed one of the lawsuits that are up and about. Susan is head of New Yorkers Against Congestion Pricing Tax. And I don't know when this is going to happen. I think in June. But the question a lot of people ask, who's going to pay for this and why? So are there exemptions on this plan? Susan?
Yes. Hi, Joan. Thank you for having me on your show. So, right now, New Yorkers Against Congestion Pricing Tax filed a federal class action lawsuit seeking an environmental impact study, which is a more thorough study than the environmental assessment that the government did in 2019. And as you mentioned, the law was passed in 2019 using data pre-COVID, before the rise in for hire vehicles, which are, you know, causing a lot of the congestion, but also at the same time, it was before COVID. And right now we're facing an economic recovery, and this congestion pricing tax scheme will actually hurt the recovery of New York City.
Tell me why.
So if you look at some of the you know, the proposals out there is $15 per vehicle, more for trucks that are delivering goods to the zone, which is below 60th Street. You look at the small businesses who will actually end up absorbing the cost. And the small businesses will either eat the cost or pass it on to their consumers. And at that point, regardless if you're a driver, you're a biker, or someone that walks who don't own a car, you're going to end up having to pay for congestion pricing one way or the other because cost of goods and services will increase. And if you look at it from a perspective of, let's say, someone that is a small business owner or a business owner in the zone, you're at a competitive disadvantage because your goods and services are going to be more expensive than businesses that are north of 60th Street. So you look at some of the, you know, some of the policies that are enacted, and you wonder, like, why was the line arbitrarily decided on 60th
right,
Street?
That's a good question.
Congestion knows no boundary. I mean, pollution knows no boundaries, right? Like, it's not going to just, pollution's not just going to stop at 60th Street.
Right. So let me ask you, do you think that the MTA will make any changes because of what's going on with lawsuits and opposition, or is it not going to affect it?
Right now, my understanding is the MTA is not going to budge. They are discussing remedies for New Jersey, which I think is a joke because, you know, I think New Yorkers need to advocate for themselves. And if there are remedies or exemptions for New Jersey residents, then we need to talk about exemptions for New Yorkers. But overall, our group is against the exemption because The goal of the legislation is to raise $1 billion a year. Wow. So if the goal is to raise $1 billion, if you're granting exemptions to one group, that means another group needs to pick up the slack in order to raise $1 billion. And so that's the question of equity that we pose, is how is this equitable if one group is exempt and someone else is having to pick up the slack, which is why, again, like I said, we're asking for an environmental impact study, which will look at economic loss, equity issue, and environmental pollution.
Right, and there's a lot going on. Manhattan would be divided with the current plan in two, right? 60th Street from west to east.
Right, and it will create, if you will, I mean, I listened to the testimony for 5 hours, and one of the women that testified, she lives in the zone, and she's an artist, and she said something that really resonates with me, in that she's like, look, I'm an artist. I don't have the privilege to ride a bike with my equipment. Uh-huh. I can't, transport whatever equipment I need to go from one show to the next. And I think that she hit the nail on the head. It's a privilege to be able to ride a bike if you don't have to carry equipment, if you're not infirmed. And so I think that the argument from the other side is like, oh, you know what? We can ride a bike. We could get on the subway. And right now, I don't feel like the subway is, or the mass transit has improved to the status where everyone would be able to use mass transit to get to where they need to go in a timely fashion.
Right. I've heard people talk about real estate values below the line and how that impacts restaurants, businesses, whatever.
Right. And one of the things that I actually started getting real estate postings, and it's like, you know, avoid congestion pricing tax. And the listing is for apartments north of 60th Street. So
how
even the real estate industry is picking up on it. Like, look, you know, if you are a family that needs to commute via driving, you're going to have to pay a $3,000 tax annually for driving your car. So as a gimmick, as a real estate agent, they're sending out, advertisements saying you could save money by moving north of 60th Street. And that is going to create more of, a housing crisis in the zone. We're going to end up having vacant apartments, and people are not going to, they're going to just flee the zone. And that's going to hurt small businesses, because small businesses, mom and pop restaurants, rely on their neighbors to come in. The grocery stores, the boutiques, they rely on their neighbors to come and buy their goods and, eat at the restaurants. So that's going to hurt the economy overall.
No, I absolutely agree. And people are going to have to really think before they cross that line. And we have Little Italy, Chinatown, Times Square, Broadway. What's going to happen to these places? But there are more lawsuits than yours, right? I know you were there. Did it change your thinking, or...?
Well, one of the things that's really interesting is, all the lawsuits, a lot of the groups are asking for exemptions. Like, and for us, like going back to the point is, if you grant exemptions to one group, another group has to pay. And I don't think that that's fair. I think that congestion pricing, the policy itself is flawed. It needs to go back to the drawing board. If we really are serious about tackling the environment, there are other ways. I think that if we want to generate revenue for the MTA to improve services, there are other ways as well. I'm not here to tell them how to do their job, but when this plan was rolled out, even the former governor himself, he wrote an op-ed a couple of days ago saying that, I am sorry, like this was passed in 2019, but we're in a different world right now, and we need to put a halt to this. Even the guy who was a supporter of it right now, 5 years later, is saying we need to re-examine this flawed policy. And I think that, you know, everyone should take a pause and really look at the policy as a whole and how it affects New Yorkers in general and how it would hurt the hospitality industry, Broadway, various tourist attractions in New York City, because we do rely on tourism as well. And a lot of the hotspots are below 60th Street.
Right.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you're ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
You know, even the plan, even if it prevents some of the cars traffic, but doesn't raise the money that they need. $1 billion is a lot of money. What could happen then?
Then we won't have the capital improvements that we need, right? We need, and that's the thing is, we need to raise $1 billion, and we need to be creative in how we raise that money. And like you said, if congestion pricing is successful, people won't be driving in. So if they need to raise $1 billion, that $15 you're paying this year will probably be $20 next year. Mm. They love to talk about what a great success London congestion pricing plan is. Congestion pricing started in London 20 years ago. It started at $6. Now it's $19.
Right.
I can't imagine us starting at $15 and where we will be in 20 years. So if we really want to tackle, like I said, the environment, the pollution, raising revenue to make sure, you know, services are up to date for the MTA, we need to think of a better plan. And this is not the plan. And, you know, we look at the MTA and there's been a lot of cost overruns in their capital improvement projects. Fare evasion is at $770 million. There are ways for the MTA to generate revenue that doesn't have to hit the pocketbooks of working class New Yorkers. And that is why we're suing the MTA and various agencies to get an environmental impact study.
Yeah, well, I wish you guys all the good luck. Let me ask you about the casinos three of them, right, that are going to be built. And apparently they have to pay $500 million to the MTA. That's a lot. And I take taxis, you know, like a lot of New Yorkers every now and then. And there is a tax added to the taxi fares now. And the driver had said to me, that goes to the MTA.
Right. And you know, and this is the thing, that there are so many revenue streams that goes to the MTA that it's almost a black box. We need to have transparency. We need to know where the money's going. If it were a for-profit company, there would be shareholder reports. There would be various reports, auditing. That is available to stakeholders. We don't have that information. And I think that is what we need to call for, is transparency and accountability from the MTA. I remember growing up, you know, in the 80s, the subways were a mess, and it's made a lot of improvement. I applaud the MTA for that.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, I was a victim of a subway attack in 2021. And
were you yourself?
I was by myself and I was shoved down the stairs. It was during COVID.
How frightening.
And it was. And to be, you know, to be frank with you, Joan, I rarely ride the subway now. And if I do, I am. And if I do, it's during rush hour because I want to make sure there are people around me. And I rarely ride it during non-peak hours. And so if you're talking about a lot of the frontline workers or a lot of people who work off hours, you're asking them to take the subway because they can't afford $15 to drive into the city to do their work. I don't think that's fair.
I agree. I absolutely agree with you. Do you think that the lawsuits have a real chance of changing this plan, or is that just wishful thinking?
I think there is a real good chance of us stopping this plan. Right now, even the MTA, I mean, they love to say, oh, because of the lawsuit, we can't go forward with the upgrades. And, you know, I honestly think it's wise of them to stop installing these gantries, because you just don't know what the outcome of the lawsuit is. Why spend the money if you don't know the outcome yet? But at the same time, you know, we're not asking for something that is ridiculous or pie in the sky request. We're asking for an environmental impact study to thoroughly study the impact of this flawed policy on everyday New Yorkers. I think the government, the MTA, various agencies owe us that. In a EPA study right before congestion pricing was rolled out, they estimated that if congestion pricing were to be implemented, 700 additional trucks, 4,000 additional cars will clog the Cross Bronx Expressway, right? Because people will tow shop. They will drive to other places to avoid paying the $15 tow. And like I said before, pollution knows no boundaries. It's not like it's going to stop at 60th Street. It's going to, you know, pollution's going to just go
it's
where
there.
It wants to go. Exactly. It's air. It's what we breathe. So if we want to tackle pollution, there are other ways. I mean, one of the things that's interesting is electric vehicles aren't exempt from congestion pricing. So how ironic is that? An environmentally friendly vehicle are not exempt from congestion pricing. So it really shows the irony of congestion pricing. And I think that it's something that it is a money-grabbing scheme by the MTA. And they just be honest and say, like, look, you know what? We need to find $1 billion, and this is where we're going to hit New Yorkers. And it's middle-class New Yorkers, working-class New Yorkers, who's going to end up bearing the brunt of this congestion pricing tax.
When do you think these lawsuits are going to be heard?
We anticipate, I know that New Jersey's lawsuits are going to be heard in April.
Uh-huh.
We're expecting ours probably shortly thereafter. We just submitted an amended complaint February 26th. So we're waiting to see when we're going to be heard. But I expect to be shortly after the New Jersey conference.
Okay. And you guys are optimistic?
We are. We're very optimistic. We have a lot of supporters. And we've been pushing this agenda out. And now, you know, New Yorkers are paying attention. I started following this back in probably 2021. And no one really knew about it. And one of the things that strikes me is with all these public hearings, no one really knew about them unless someone told you about it. It wasn't really publicized in the media. And if you weren't in the know, or if you weren't interested in the issue, you wouldn't have known that there were these public hearings. So I think that that's another thing is they try to pass this without real community public input, and that's a shame. That's you know, I mean, London had to go through people were, you know, the voters voted on congestion pricing, and we didn't. We were just mandated, and so I think that is something that we need to examine.
Okay, but you guys are doing a good job with it, so.
Yes, thank you. And hopefully, you know, your listeners and, you know, various people from the public out there are starting to catch on and, you know, let the MTA know, or let your elected official know, especially your state elected official, because this was a state legislation. Let them know enough is enough. It is an election year. They will listen, you know. And that's what our next objective is to work with the elected officials, let them hear our concerns and see where this goes. So it is a multi-pronged approach. It's not just litigation.
Right,
we are working with elected officials to try to get some kind of discussion going on. And it's, like I said, it's an election year, so it's important to engage civically with your elected officials.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you, Susan. Lots of luck to you. Susan Lee is head of New Yorkers Against Congestion Pricing Tax, and everyone should pay attention. This is not something that's just going to slide through, because it definitely will have an effect not only on the city, but on each and every one of you every time you get in your car. So take a look and listen, and if you like it, then go for it. But if not, let your voice be heard. I'm Joan Hamburg, and you're listening to WABC. Thank you.